A radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's the Paul Gallant Show.
Pauly G Show. He's the best in Houston.
Houston's most interactive sports talk show.
Hey, how's it going, Paul?
Oh, what's good, my man?
How you doing, Paul?
What are you doing, Paul?
Join the conversation by dialing or texting 713-780-3776.
I love the show. Y'all keep it up.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
You are definitely living in the hindsight world today, Paul.
Most interactive sports talk show in town. You want to jump in, you know how to do it. YouTube at ESPN Houston. Twitch at ESPN 975. Astros and Tigers in progress. The Tigers have a 6-0 lead in the top of the third. But hey, the Astros have a runner in scoring position with no outs. Come back. Also, Framber Valdez is still pitching. 2 innings of work, 3 walks, 2 wild pitches, and 6 earned runs. 5 hits allowed as well. Just 1 strikeout. So everything is going very, very poorly, and I think I know what's going to happen a little bit later on the Killer Bees. This is my guess as to what Joel and Jeremy on the Angry Bees after an Astros L like this, especially with how bad the first inning was. They let all 6 of those runs in the first inning. This is, I think, what they will lead off the show suggesting to do about Framber Valdez.
Sir Illen, bring me his head.
I think they might go Joffrey. I think they might go Joffrey on him. And you know what? Kind of get it. Kind of get that gut kind of reaction today. You know? I get it. I think I saw a lot of people online. They're all calling for heads on a spike. Everyone's so mad. It is funny. The Astros still lead the American League West by a game and a half and probably still will lead the American League West by a game and a half after today.
They've extended their lead in the AL West by not scoring a run.
Yeah. It's insane. It's wild.
It's ridiculous.
I mean, there's a chance they're still in first place, but people are like, Jesus Sanchez is stupid. Cut him. You've got people comparing Caleb Ort to an ogre. Guess what? That's the 6:10 afternoon show.
That's ugly.
Man, they're kind of a mean show. Mean-spirited. Not really empathetic.
Yeah, I only...
Caleb Ort is a family.
We only lightly suggested that he might be involved with some gambling issues,
that's
given
it.
How many balls he was throwing.
That's it, because they were so far outside of the zone.
It looked like the Cleveland Guardians guys who have been accused of taking bets on first pitch balls.
First pitch, except for this was the last
every pitch.
An entire at bat. Yes, he had 3 walks in an inning. So Caleb Ort, they're asking for his head. They're asking for the umpire who messed up that call with Yonder Diaz safe at home plate.
All of Secaucus, New Jersey, or whoever looks at the...
Yes. Alex Cintron, his hitting coach's head, yeah.
That's Cintron, yeah.
Joe Espada, Dana Brown.
I mean, pitching coach can catch one today for 6-0 in the first
Framber minute. Will definitely get it, though, today. And he deserves it today.
I don't...
Joe George saying that the Astros should have traded Framber Valdez when they had the chance, like he did on our show last year, that is a good take. Today.
Aged well.
It did age pretty well. Most things don't age well, but that has aged pretty well.
I don't think they need to bring me Framber's head. Can we at least bring the dreads?
Yeah. Off with his dreads.
Like, didn't Samurai do that when
they
got defeated in battle? You cut off the ponytail?
Big scene in the Last Samurai movie.
Yeah, that's what I'm taking.
The modernized Japanese military sees a samurai, the son of Katsumoto, out in the street, and they cut his top knot off, and he drops to his knees like Willem Dafoe in Platoon as it happens, screaming incoherently in a language that I do not understand. You know who I do understand? I understand Dana Brown, Astros GM. Dana Brown is a politician. Dana Brown is always going to try and keep you as positive and optimistic as possible. Is that possible after the Astros have scored 0 runs? I'm doing a little extra math here. In now their last 30 innings, we shall see. Are you down with Dana Brown?
You down with Dana B?
This ball club's too, it's too good.
You down with Dana B?
He's pretty much given me the steering wheel and said, hey, this is your gig.
You down with Dana B?
These guys have been out for so much of the season that it feels like we're acquiring too many players.
I guess we'll see.
Dana Brown, Astros GM, joins the Astros flagship every single week. Here's what he had to say about last night's loss. Guys put up a good fight.
Technically not wrong.
It did go to extra innings.
They're right there with them.
They were. And then Caleb Ward took them out. Dana Brown, are you down with Dana Brown? Here is what he had to say about the bats. Quote, bats will be back sooner rather than later. We're on the brink. Look at the Dodgers. Detroit, too. The team is hanging in there. It's 162 games. This is a winning team with winning players. The sky is not falling. End quote. It's only been a week, and yes, it is an 162-game season. And sure, they're hanging in there because they still lead the American League West by a game and a half. But it is not a winning team over the last month and a half. And the sky sure feels like it's falling because they are doing things from a lack of run production perspective that hasn't been done in 60 years. In fact, it's something that's only been done twice since 1900. We're talking about the Philadelphia Athletics. We're talking about the Oakland A's of the 60s. That's... check that. The Chicago Cubs.
It was the Cubs of the 60s and the A's of the 1900s.
Correct. When they were in Philadelphia, which is where they started off, believe it or not. More from Dana Brown on the bats. Are you down with Dana Brown? I get it. Do you? I've been a fan my entire life. When you're in the midst of a winning team, you know it's just a matter of time before they break out. We're going to be getting Yordan back soon, and that'll help. For what it's worth, Yordan Alvarez last night in Corpus Christi, 2-for-4 with a walk, a double, a single to center, and he almost had 3 hits, but the team they were going up against made a nice play. He stole a base, too, for God's sake.
I saw that.
Why are you doing that? I don't know, but he caught him sleeping, slid in successfully, flexing a little bit. Like, hey, Yordan, come on, man. Let's do too much out there.
I understand that it's hand that's injured and... you know, theoretically, the rest of his body is healthy. I don't need you risking it, though, for the hooks. No disrespect.
Right. Exactly. So, no offense to the hooks.
Yeah. 7-0 Tigers, by the way.
Oh, God. Dana wrapped up his quote saying, that'll help getting Yordan back. Well, I hope that it'll help, but they're a lot more healthy than they were earlier this year, and they're still not scoring runs, which was a problem earlier this year when they were healthy.
Yeah, and Yordan was not getting off to a great start. Now, if you want to just say, like, hey, he was just having a bad stretch to start the season, and then eventually he was hurt, so okay. But Yordan will also have to play well when he's in the lineup. Like, these guys were playing well before last week, basically, or before maybe 2 weeks ago. They were playing well. Carlos Correa trade looked like a huge win. We're punking all the Twins fans that said, good luck with this guy.
Right, exactly.
And now you know, they haven't scored a run in 3 days.
Correa, for what it's worth, it's not his fault.
He's been fine.
He's been fine.
As good as you can be on an offense that's scoring literally no runs, he's been all right.
Yeah. Walker's coming back down to earth a little bit. Jesus Sanchez coming back down to earth a little bit. And at this point in time, Cam Smith just can't do anything at the plate. So those are some of the guys who have come back down. It's just a matter of time before they break out. Like, that's wishful thinking. That's Dana Brown, the politician. Are you down with Dana Brown? I still have confidence in this team. I still have a lot of confidence in this team. I'm not worried one bit. You will see this offense explode. I promise you. Man. He sounds like he is pleading, not promising there.
Yeah, that's writing a lot of checks that someone else has to cash.
Exactly. I buy your confidence because you have Diego Pavia-level confidence. Quarterback at Vanderbilt.
Love that guy.
But you will see this offense explode, I promise you. You better not be doing a victory lap after this series ends and the Astros play the next seven games, the Rockies and Angels, in whatever order they're playing them in.
Yeah.
By the way, I am not watching any of
There's also games. An Orioles series somewhere in there.
Yeah, I think so, yeah. too. I'm not watching any of those games. Not one. You have decided that for me with Robert Valdez's brutal bottom of the first, where he allowed six runs, two wild pitches, a bunch of walks.
Oy vey. I can't wait for them to score like six runs on Friday. See?
I can't wait for them to score six runs over the course of the next month, because I hope they are capable of that. Are you down with Dana Brown? Dana Brown, asked about the cause of the offensive struggles, said this: "If I were an outsider looking at this club, I'd say the offense is pressing right now. If that's the case, fire the hitting coach right now. If they're pressing, the whole point of this year was for the Astros to be more patient at the plate than they were last season. That was a team goal. Defensively, they're better. But a team goal this season was to be better when it came to patience at the plate and producing runs with better base running. Two things that have not been good this season." So I definitely buy the idea that an outsider on the outside looking in says the offense is pressing right now. But that should be the one thing you can control. And I've heard Dana in some of these interviews talk about the balance between being aggressive versus pitchers that will not give you many opportunities versus being patient against pitchers that are going to throw you a bunch of balls. But the approach clearly is not up to standard when you have one of the best batting averages in baseball, sixth, and you are 21st in runs scored. Down with Dana Brown. Are you down with the Astros GM? As far as the fix for the Astros offense, it's the grit and grind that leads to production. Sure, bro. I do not buy that.
Also, just completely meaningless.
Yes.
It's the grit and grind.
There's a lot of grit and a lot of grind, and it has not led to any Astros runs today.
Yeah.
31 innings without a run.
They just need to be grittier when they're out there. Ugh. Grind some more.
Man. Top of the fourth already and out. Dana Brown on Astros slugger Yordan Alvarez and his return. We've waited this long. We need him to get some at-bats. I would say less than a week. Dude, he's ready now. Come on. He should be in Detroit today. After last night, he should be here now. It was a 3-for-4 game. If we can get him through to the weekend, maybe we can get him back for a game or two in Baltimore, at least for the homestand. So, yeah, the upcoming series for the Astros to wrap up the month, a bunch of schlubs, but they did already lose 2 of 3, two said schlubs, 4 against the Orioles in Baltimore, 3 at home against the Rockies, 4 against the Angels. I'm not going to watch any of those games. They're in timeout. I'll watch highlights. I'm not watching any of those games. If that's the buildup to football season, hard pass. I'll watch preseason tape, for God's sake. Are you down with Dana Brown? When the Paul Gallant Show reacts to what Dana Brown had to say on the Astros flagship. 713-780-3776 to call, to text. YouTube at ESPN Houston. Twitch at ESPN 975. Who's the fall guy for the Astros' recent struggles, which are continuing today in what has been a very embarrassing follow-up to walking the Tigers off last night? Who are you going King Joffrey about? Nominated on the most interactive sports talk show in Houston. 713-780-3776 to call, to text. YouTube at ESPN Houston. Twitch at ESPN 975. Stick around.
ESPN 97.5. It's the Paul Gallant Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
It is the most interactive sports talk show in Houston. 713-780-3776 is how you call in. It's how you text in. A texter says, at this point, I want to see how many scoreless innings in a row the Astros can get to. This is laughable at this point. Well, guys, I have some major breaking news for you. Our long local nightmare is over. After, let me do the math correctly here. After 31 and two-thirds innings of zero runs, the Houston Astros have broken through with a Mauricio Dubon home run. They're down just 7-2. God wills it. Give me the song!
Says it's only a game.
Why do the catches wear iron
masks?
Why do they die for the dive on the grass?
Astros.
Why do they go head first into home? Why do the losers feel all alone? Who says it's only a game? When you want it, you give it all you've got. The war's not over till the final shot. It's pride and glory and fame. Who says it's only a game? Why do you think they
with me now, Astros baseball. Who says it's only a game? 7-2. Listen, I know a lot of you people want to hear the voices of the people and who they would like to see heads removed from bodies and placed on spikes from. But this is the show of manifesting positive energy. Today could be the greatest day of your life. And while the Astros might be down 7-2 after a rough first inning by Framber Valdez, where he allowed six runs going into the bottom of the fourth, this could be the greatest Astros comeback of the season. You got two ways to look at it. Could be brutal start by Framber Valdez, another reason to move on. Could also be the comeback that brings the Astros together and is the first step forward after a few steps back as the Astros march toward World Series number 3. God wills it!
Framber Valdez just hit a batter.
Well, at least it didn't go past the catcher it has twice already today.
Bounced right off of him.
From the 832, someone is asking for the trombone song to pump us up. I mean, if the cocaine song doesn't work, we might have to do the trombone song. Okay. We asked the question, if you were to go King Joffrey on somebody on the Astros right now, because you're not happy about what's happening, who is getting the Sir Ilan Payne treatment? Here's a couple. Framber is a bleeping joke, writes one texter, while another says, do you think Valdez is checked out of the season, knowing he's probably not going to play here next year? I don't know about that, but hey, Joffrey, Framber?
Sir Ilan, bring me his head.
Very violent. Very violent. I think Astros fans would have liked King Joffrey as manager. Gotta say, he would not do as good of a job as Joe Espada, you know? He would not have done as well at the helm as Joe Espada has this season. One texter says, fire Espada. Another texter, getting Lastros vibes again. Espada needs to go. Changes need to be made. Hey, they're in first place. You cannot call them the Lastros. No matter how poorly they are playing right now, guess what? The Mariners and Rangers are playing worse. I don't know how. I don't know why. But that is a fact right now. So I am rejecting the idea of firing Joe Espada. I am not allowing it. I'm doing what Cersei should have done in that spot, stopping Joffrey from taking Ned Stark out. I am stopping him right there and then.
I am not letting that happen. Espada's done a pretty good job this season.
Sir Ilan, bring me his head.
They, the lamentations of women.
And you're going, no, stop it, Joffrey.
I'm slapping Joffrey.
And then you know what King Joffrey says to that?
Off with my head.
Sir Ilan, bring me his head.
It's probably not going to go so hot. One person wants the entire Astros organization to be gutted, saying the damn Space Cowboys would have put up a run by now. So, do we want to play that, what, 25 times? No. He just wants the entire Astros gone and replaced by the Space Cowboys.
Okay.
I don't think that would go so well.
Worked out against the Dodgers.
That is a great counterpoint. Okay. Fire the hitting coach already.
Sir Ilan, bring me his head.
Whoa. And then release Caleb Ort and Sean Dubin. I never want to see them again, writes one texter.
Sir Ilan, bring me his head.
That was a brutal day for Joffrey. From the 713, I am completely positive that the Astros will get to the World Series this season. They will all be watching from the couch in their homes, just being positive. Damn, that was a twist. I thought this was another God wills it kind of text. Yeah, everyone's out right now. Gary's got a thought of the Astros on the most interactive sports talk show in town. Gary, yo.
Hey guys, it's all me. And once I make this statement, you guys have to reject it. You have to renounce my statement. Ever since I said Ike and Tina and Jeremy Pena, you have to reject it. It's all me. Like Coming to America at the end of the first episode of the movie Coming to America, Eddie Murphy said, I will renounce it. If you want to get married, I renounce it all. I renounce it. So you have to reject me. When I hang up, reject the Ike and Tina.
I reject it.
Reject it. And I appreciate Gary stepping up. Hand up. He said that he was the cause of this.
Yeah.
All right.
Listen.
We have our sacrificial lamb.
If he wants his head off for the good of the realm, hey, Gary could be that guy.
Sir Ilan, bring me his head.
I like that we've discovered that Gary also has a lot of references to pull out of the rabbit hole. I like that.
Yeah,
I like this about Gary. We're learning more and more about Gary with every single phone call. When Gary's to the point, money. Sometimes when Gary's not to the point, I'm like, I don't know what's going on here. But
yeah.
I like the passion and the energy. We appreciate you, Gary. Thanks for calling it.
I definitely could sense what today's show was going to be like just when I saw how many different movies and TV shows were going to get referenced by Paul. I was like, oh, man.
Yeah, I smoked a little weed last night. What can I say? Just kidding. I would never do that. Come on. What are we doing here?
Sir Ilan.
That's a crime, I'll have you know.
Bring me his head.
Is this in Singapore? Or the Philippines? What
lucky,
are you talking about?
Lucky Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick is walking through these halls.
I forgot. Yeah, Dan Patrick just like shows up at the back studio like he did that one time.
like a wrestler?
I've told
like
this.
He's the Undertaker?
It's so crazy. Maybe the wildest encounter, shared collective experience for me, for Joe George, and for Sean Mapes. We're all sitting in studio, and Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick just walks behind Sean and watches us for like 2 minutes and waves. And I'm trying not to be distracted because I recognized him right away. I was like, that's Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick, who used to be a radio guy.
Oh, I didn't know.
He did used to be a radio guy, which is interesting because there's another Dan Patrick who is a radio guy now that was a SportsCenter anchor at one point in time. It's interesting.
That's why I always say Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick, because in most contexts, when we say Dan Patrick, I think of the radio guy.
Yeah. Usually I do as well. Could I be the future Lieutenant Governor of the state of Texas? Paul Galancho, 713-780-3776 to call it to Texas. We're just asking the question because no one wants to talk about the Astros. They're down 7-2. But hey, Fromber got out of that inning. Charlie Morton still in the game. Maybe Charlie Morton has a moment like Anakin Skywalker / Darth Vader had. You know, he's witnessing his boss, the Tigers, pulverizing the Astros. Evil A.J. Hinch, the ringleader of the Astros cheating scandal, at least based off of him getting fired.
Yeah.
He's just telling him, do it. Do it to the OX team. Do it. And then he picks up A.J. Hinch and he throws him down a shaft and throws the game and gives the Astros the greatest comeback in team history. That would add to the Charlie Morton lore.
It would.
You know, the rise as Anakin Skywalker, the fall. I think he was with the Braves and beat him in the World Series. And then he's back, helping the Astros get the most important comeback win of the season by throwing this game against the Astros with the Tigers up 7-2 in the top of the fifth. Yeah, we're being silly. It's the Paul Gallant Show. We are 15 days away from the start of the NFL season. An actually good number. There is an obvious best number 15 in NFL history already. And an offer was made for Dallas Cowboys pass rusher Micah Parsons. Would you have accepted this offer? That and more as we go around the National Football League. It's the Paul Gallant Show. Stay put.
ESPN 97.5.
We're ready for some football, baby.
The countdown to the NFL season continues with Paul Gallant.
Fifteen days away from the start of the NFL season. Patrick Mahomes is the greatest number 15 in NFL history. There is no doubt about that. Pretty incredible that we can already say that definitively about Patrick Mahomes when Bart Starr also wore number 15 for the Green Bay Packers back in the day and had himself quite the career. But Patrick Mahomes has led the Chiefs to 7 consecutive AFC championships, 3 Super Bowls, 3 Super Bowl MVPs, 2 MVPs in 2018 and 2022, 2-time first-team All-Pro, 6-time Pro Bowler. He's a hell of a quarterback.
Yeah, he could retire tomorrow and he's a Hall of Famer.
I think he already has a pretty strong case to be on the same rung as far as greatest quarterbacks ever as Joe Montana, and he is 29. His birthday is September 17th. He turns 30 after the season begins.
Yeah, in like week 2 or 3.
We'll see what the Chiefs do this season. I certainly have some questions about them. Other great number 15s. You got to talk about Bart Starr as well.
Yeah.
Green Bay Packers quarterback. Bart Starr was a Packers quarterback from 1956 to 1971. 2-time Super Bowl champion. 5-time NFL champion.
I think it's kind of messed up we don't count the NFL championships.
I agree, but there were less teams, and yeah. It is strange, though, because the NFL was the respected league, and the AFL was the disrespected league until Joe Namath and the Jets beat the Baltimore Colts in Super Bowl III.
And it's like, you know, it's the NFL-AFL merger, and so that's kind of what, you know,
led to this.
Led to the Super Bowls, but like the NBA and ABA also merged, but we don't mess with it. It's all the things pre-NBA-ABA merger, although that was like 6 teams or 4 teams being added to the NBA. I just think it's interesting.
I do too. The first 2 Super Bowls were considered a joke.
Yeah.
And the Packers won both of them. They beat the Chiefs, then they beat the Raiders. I mean, the first Super Bowl that they won, Max McGee was the most hungover player on the field and scored a critical touchdown. So, really didn't do much for the AFL, which became the AFC. The NFL became the NFC. The whole league became the National Football League. Other great number 15s, I'm just going to give you some fun backstories because I love these old guys from way back in the day. Eagles running back and LSU legend Steve Van Buren, a.k.a. Supersonic Steve. He was drafted in June of 1944. That's nice. Might avoid a certain invasion. I don't know if he ended up fighting in World War II. Drafted the same month as D-Day. He didn't think he was good enough to play in the NFL, so he waited a little bit to sign his contract. Also, you've got Packers running back Johnny Blood McNally, who also played for the Milwaukee Badgers, Duluth Eskimos, and Pottsville Maroons. He was called the Vagabond Halfback and changed his last name to Blood so he could play semi-pro without hurting his college eligibility. He chose Blood as his last name after passing by a movie theater playing a movie called Blood and Sand in 1922. Wow. Must have been nice back in the day. You could just go by a fake name and no one's going to think anything of it.
That is insane. That he was like, you know how I can get around this? By just changing my last name.
No one's going to know.
To sound like a comic book.
Seriously.
Comic book character.
Old Johnny Blood.
Johnny Blood.
The best 15 in Texans history, Kyemi Fairbairn, who still wears the number. But actually a decent number, Will Fuller wore it.
I was going to say, Fuller's the first one that jumps to mind. He was all right.
Fuller had some good years.
Yeah, he was a big, if healthy, guy. Back-to-back days, him and QT of like, Will Fuller's better than Kiki QT. But he was a guy where during the Deshaun Watson days, there was a little bit of like, is Will Fuller active in this game?
Mm-hmm.
If yes, they will have a good offense.
They're going to
have a
really good offense.
It's
yeah.
questionable.
Elite field stretcher, he was. Ryan Mallett, RIP, also wore number 15 for the Texans. I don't know how much stock to put into this. I don't know if this is the Cowboys version of Michael Schwab, but at Ernie, the Cowboys fan, who is followed by a lot of prominent NFL accounts, the Packers offered 2 first-round picks, a second-round pick, and a 5th-round pick for Micah Parsons. The Cowboys said no. What would you do if you got offered that? That is a lot of picks.
And
that's a quarterback haul.
Yeah, that's what? You said 2 firsts and a second. Right?
2 firsts and a second. And,
then a 5th, yeah.
They said no. Oof. I mean, it is a Packers first. You're expecting it, especially if Parsons is aboard that defense.
Yeah,
to
20
be,
range.
Yeah. At absolute earliest, it's going to be, what, 16?
Yeah.
I like the Packers and the way that they've built that roster for a while. But if the Cowboys aren't accepting that trade, they're not trading Micah Parsons. So I don't know if an extension gets reached, but I don't think Parsons is going to be playing elsewhere this coming season like some have prognosticated.
Yeah, Adam Schefter threw out there on, I think it was a radio hit on ESPN Radio, or maybe it was on Get Up, that he like wouldn't be surprised if there's a, I think he called it a divorce. All right, Adam, chill out.
Yeah.
Worried about something at home?
Yeah, Adam, that's not cool for those who have been through a divorce and are still traumatized by it.
Don't throw around the D word like that.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, Schefter said he wouldn't be surprised if there's a separation of Micah Parsons and the Cowboys at some point in the next 2 years.
Okay.
Basically before they actually have to pay him.
Is that a report?
No, not.
I like Schefter. Is that a report? It's like something might happen in the next 2 years. All right. Thanks. Daniel Jones officially the starting quarterback for the Indianapolis Colts. Earlier in the show, we talked about how Anthony Richardson's agent is being a little crybaby about it. Here is what Colts wide receiver A.D. Mitchell had to say about Daniel Jones being the starter for week one in Indy.
Smart football player, very demanding at quarterback. He'll kind of, you know, tell you what, you know, he wants you to do, and you know it's an open dialogue there. So his work ethic is phenomenal. So just looking forward to carrying that through the season.
All of those comments are an indictment on Anthony Richardson. All of them. I mean, he's saying that about Daniel Jones, and since likely his extended experience with an NFL quarterback was Anthony Richardson and a little bit of Joe Flacco, that is just telling you everything that Anthony Richardson wasn't bringing to the table. And I know there's so many of these bobos out there who are saying, oh, he's young, you gotta give him a shot. And he hasn't taken advantage of it because he doesn't seem to give that much of a bleep. I think that's a fair thing to say, even if you're not close to the situation. So A.D. Mitchell said it about as politely as anyone's going to say it without actually saying that Anthony Richardson wasn't putting in the work.
Yeah, Daniel Jones does the like small things that NFL quarterbacks are expected to do. That's what sticks out to most. That's what sticks out most to A.D. Mitchell about playing with them.
And he's been here for a couple of months, so
yeah,
not even a regular season. The Saints quarterback competition is going to continue this week. Jake Haener, Tyler Shuck, Spencer Rattler. I think my money's on Shuck based off of the reps that have been giving out to this point.
I would lean Rattler, but I don't feel strongly enough to actually disagree.
We'll see all three this week.
I just naturally kind of like they'll probably give it to the incumbent guy over the rookie, especially if he's not a top pick.
I think it'll go in this order. Shuck, Haener.
Wow.
And then Rattler at the very end of the year. Because both would probably get hurt. The Saints situation is just a mess.
Yeah.
Chris Maloney, remember him from Law & Order? He's the Law & Order SVU guy. He's the guy that's intimidating.
you sick freak.
Yeah.
Whatever, he says that to people.
He does. And guess what? Speaking of sick freaks, he was at Browns football practice yesterday on the sideline.
Just muttering that to himself.
Yep. Everyone was making Deshaun Watson jokes. By the way, the Browns also signed former Texas wide receiver Isaiah Bond.
Alabama receiver.
My bad. Alabama. Alabama. Texas, no, Alabama. Same thing. Premier powers in the SEC.
He started at Alabama, ended at Texas.
Oh, my bad. Okay. I thought I was right. You were gaslighting me a little bit there, Sean.
No,
I would have believed
you're right,
you.
You're right. And
Texas
spin
wide
zone.
Receiver.
Spin zone. He's also...
He's also an Alabama guy. Okay. Well, they signed him to a 3-year fully guaranteed deal. Got to say, pretty favorable for the Browns.
Yeah.
Especially compared to the Deshaun Watson contract. A no bill has been filed for Isaiah Bond and some of the allegations that were against him, which means that the DA, judge, and clerk know a prosecutor is not going to seek formal charges against him. I wonder if there will be a civil suit or if there will be league discipline, but the Browns are trying to talk their way around this one. At the very least, they are experienced enough to be able to do that, especially with that Baghdad Bob a-hole that they have as their PR guy. You think I've forgotten the time I wasn't allowed to ask Deshaun Watson if he was ever going to tell us the side of the story that he promised that he was always going to tell us, Texans-Browns a couple of years ago? I went to that game literally to ask that question, and that a-hole wouldn't call on me. Looked at my credentials, saw who I was, and took like 5 questions from Mary Kay Cabot. Soft. The Browns deserve everything bad that happens to them entirely based off of that Baghdad Bob. Forget about like the, you know, moral sidestepping when it comes to Deshaun Watson, Isaiah Bond, and some of the other people. Quinchon Miles Jackson. Garrett, menace to society, almost running everybody over, tried to kill a Steeler in the middle of the game. Whatever. Classic Aggie. Forget all that.
Fair and balanced.
That Baghdad Bob guy, like, that's why I hate the Browns. My priorities are in the right place.
Yeah, you wish Detective Stabler would have arrested him at practice.
Exactly. Is that what his character's name is, Chris Malone?
Yeah.
Okay. I never really watched Law & Order that much. I'd like the beginning of Law & Order, the part up to they discover the body, and then I usually check out because it's funny.
Yeah, the
especially the Stephen A. Smith one.
The order part isn't as interesting. I just like it when they, oh my God.
Right.
What sick freak did that? and then it actually starts.
Maloney! Maloney,
although,
dial it back. You're getting too crazy. I got to take your gun and your badge, Maloney.
That happens to him. He's an aggressive cop.
Very aggressive. But I get it. Like, if you're working in that field, you might become that. It is the Paul Gallant Show. Sean Mapes is behind the glass. The Astros might stink right now, but I got something that's going to make you very excited about the Houston Texans coming into this season. Yeah, it's a deep steel blue pill for you. I got a deep steel blue pill in my pocket for you. Why don't you reach in my front pocket and see what you do? Give a little squeeze, say, how do you do? It's a South Park reference. Grow up. Paul Gallant Show. Stay put.
ESPN 97.5. Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Paul Gallant Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Most interactive sports talk show in Houston. 713-780-3776 to call in, to text in. YouTube at ESPN Houston, Twitch at ESPN 97.5, also available on the brand new ESPN Houston app. We're going to be at El Tiempo Friday on Washington as we continue to give you a shot to win a pair of brand new e-bikes from Power On Electric Bike Companies. Make sure you're out there stopping by the registration table. Also getting closer and closer to the listener party. September 5th, nearly 2 weeks away. So make sure you're following ESPN Houston and ESPN 97.5/92.5 on all the socials for a chance to win, or that you have the brand new ESPN Houston app. Those are your best chances to get to the party, which you need tickets to attend. The Astros are down 7-2 to the Detroit Tigers in the top of the sixth inning, looking to avoid a sweep. Framber Valdez stunk in this game. Six runs allowed in the first inning. Ugh. So, at the very least, with the Astros, at least right now, circling the drain a bit, we've got Houston Texans football to look forward to, right? Preseason game number 3, the final one, coming up on Saturday. Regular season, 15 days away. Let's get excited. Here's a deep steel blue pill for you.
Little blue pills can take 30 minutes to get you ready for excitement.
So that's why we're giving you a big, deep, steel blue pill.
You take the blue pill, believe whatever you want.
Get it up for the Texans and take this deep, steel blue pill.
And by the way, she'll like it too.
Texans War! I'm so excited about the Texans' new offensive coordinator. And look, we don't know what it's going to look like in the regular season quite yet. We do know that offensive coordinator Nick Caley, who replaced Bobby Slowick, will be calling plays from the sideline this year, not up in the press box. What I like about Caley, who is from, if you want to reach a little bit, both the Sean McVay tree and the Patriots way, it's that while he certainly, you would think, is one of those new age, fancy lad offensive gurus, he's got a little meathead to him. Here he is at a press conference earlier this week talking about what he's looking for from his offense.
Look, I don't believe in being anything other than the most physical team we can possibly be. I think it allows you to control the line of scrimmage. It carves out, actually takes a 2 or 3 yard gain in the run game to a 4, 5, or 6 yard gain. It wears on people in the fourth quarter, and it's a matter of mental and physical conditioning for us just to continue to push through that. But yeah, I believe in a physical football team, and I think our guys have answered the bell, and they're working to be the most physical version of themselves every single day.
Swore! Nick Chubb! Running down your face! Curb stomping you on the way to the end zone. Or for a gain of 3. Doesn't matter. Every single push forward by this running game is going to be violent. It's going to hurt.
Yeah.
With Nick Caley running the show. Damian Pierce, watch out. That's RB3.
He's physical. Even RB3 is physical.
Watch out. They might even have a fullback this year. Jacob Johnson, watch out. One of the guys that I'm most intrigued by, based off of what's been going on in training camp, is Texans rookie Arianti Ursary, a tackle they selected out of Minnesota. Big dude. There is an article in the Houston Chronicle written by John Alexander. And Jonathan teases this article on his social media, at John M. Alexander, saying, in 2024, the Texans O-line developed a reputation among its fans as a bunch of pretty boys. Yeah, Laramie Tunsil was quite fashionable. They thought Titus Howard was a bit of the same. There was this aloofness, this nonchalance about the Texans' offensive line struggles that certainly added to it. But per John Alexander, rookie left tackle Tay has the attitude on the field that is the opposite of a pretty boy. He wants to go through you. Swarm! Here's what John writes in the Chronicle. There's no laugh or grin. He's straight-faced because he meant every word, even if it was only said in a figurative sense. I wanted to let people know what type of player he was getting, how my mind works, how I went about my business, my playing style, and why I play like that. I wanted them to know that somebody has got his back out there. Ursary describes his playing style as physical and aggressive. He's adamant. He's not a lineman who plays with finesse. I want to run through you each and every play. Love hearing that from Ursary. Also love hearing when he was asked earlier this week about stepping in for a now healthy Cam Robinson, who signed a pretty lucrative 1-year deal this offseason. I haven't done anything yet. big question as training camp wraps up and the preseason wraps up. What happens at left tackle for the Texans who are trying to put one together? Because Robinson is healthy, but yesterday, Ursary was still working with the first team unit as starting left tackle as a rookie, while Cam Robinson was with the twos. I think that is noteworthy. And I hope that it's Ursary to start the year over Robinson. If you have a guy that you think has some serious upside at left tackle, and you've finally found an offensive lineman that you can plug and play immediately instead of this weird mamby-pamby-ness that it feels like all Texans offensive linemen who have been drafted, other than Titus Howard, have dealt with, where like, I don't know if he's ready. We're going to try him at another position. I don't know, Jim. If you're as confident to put Ursary at left tackle right away and still confident enough to have him ahead of Cam Robinson at left tackle, I think you keep him there. And you see how much he can develop over the course of the year. Because guess what? Sitting behind the scenes and watching Cam Robinson and being the backup tackle waiting for someone to get hurt, that's not going to get him any better. You made a serious investment in this guy. Maybe not a first-round pick, but I want to see Ursary play week one, because if he's playing week one on, a lot of room for growth. And I think that you have a higher upside with Ursary than you do with Robinson, who the Jaguars were totally cool moving on from, as were the Minnesota Vikings after they traded for him last year.
Yeah, yeah. And even if you want to start Robinson at left tackle and Ursary at right, like, to me, people are a little too flippant about, like, yeah, just move him to the right side. You know, left tackle to right tackle to left tackle. Yeah, it even happens with the guards. That's a, like, talk to any offensive lineman. That is a tough transition to make, just because you have to flip everything. You have to flip everything in your mind. Basically, you're playing right-handed versus playing left-handed, is how some tackles have described, like, moving from one side to the other. I think if he's good enough at left tackle, just stick him there. Don't have him flip-flop back and forth. Because, like you said, it's just so much higher of an upside on Ursary than Cam Robinson, any of these guys, honestly, on the line. And does that mean your right tackle then is Titus Howard back at right tackle, and then you're just figuring out the two guard spots in the center? Okay, I can see how there's something there. Like, you're molding something there, as opposed to asking Titus Howard to play out of position so you can put Robinson at left tackle, Ursary also kind of playing out of position at right tackle, and then Howard at guard. I think it's just cleaner to have everyone play the position they're used to playing.
Right. Now, we've seen Titus Howard at right guard a bunch, but this year it does seem like, yeah, right, it's going to be right tackle going forward. And we will see what happens at right guard. Juice Scruggs, it seems like, has made a little bit of progress of late in training camp, to the point where it might be up in the air. Who's at right guard to open the season between he and Ed Ingram? Lagan Tomlinson at left guard is the guy right now, definitively, as is Jake Andrews, who's clearly a Nick Caley guy from their time together in New England. And reading some of the quotes that Nick Caley had to say about Jake Andrews, talking about how much film Andrews studies. Andrews probably knew that if he studies the film around Caley, Caley's going to give him the leg up coming into a situation where it's between him, Jared Patterson. You know, Caley's probably going to go with the guy he's familiar with, even if Patterson's better.
Yeah. Popovich also was a Patriots guy.
Cole Popovich as well. That's right. Yeah. And Popovich probably told him, like, hey, listen, I think Andrews is better than poor Jared Patterson.
Yeah, plays here.
Anyway. We will see what happens with the offensive line, but I would like to see Ursary at left tackle. As far as that article that John Alexander wrote, just one last little piece of advice. Ursary, if you want people to believe that the Texans have put the pretty boy offensive line persona in the past, you need to delete a post you made on your Instagram on February 19th. You have to delete that picture, because it looks mildly zesty. Not that there's anything wrong with that. No. I'm wearing the shortest short shorts right now. I look great, but I certainly look like a Metro little dandy boy. If you want to get away from that, delete that post.
The beanie's tough.
It looks like a condom. I'm just going to say it. Like, it looks like the goofy kid in Fat Albert who has that looking thing on the top of his head. A little too mushroomy, bro. Ursary wore a t-shirt at his draft that says "Beware of Dog" with like a Great Dane holding a duck in its mouth. I want him to wear stuff like that instead of the, you know, zesty Hawaiian shirt stuff. You know, there were a lot of Texans fans this offseason that were like, can we just draft some like white guy with a mullet?
Tate Ratliff.
Yeah. Right. Ursary seems to have the physical mentality that everyone's looking for. I would just ignore the pictures if you are a Texans fan and stop assuming that he will be Laremy Tunsil or Titus Howard when Titus Howard was at his worst. Based off of a picture, I'd encourage you to watch what he does, but I'd also encourage Arianti Ursary, delete that for the bad times.
If at any point,
they will happen, you're a rookie.
If at any point Paul Gallant is like, hey, that's a shirt I could wear, you're wearing the wrong shirt as an offensive lineman.
As an offensive lineman, for sure. As an offensive lineman, for sure. Yeah, and some would argue as a straight man. It might be the wrong shirt.
If Paul's jealous about your Hawaiian shirts.
I was jealous of Laramie's Hawaiian shirts.
Yeah, right. Bad sign.
That's Sean Mapes behind the glass and Paul Gallant. It is the Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5, 92.5. The Astros broke their scoreless streak, but, oh boy, Framber Valdez. Good googly boogly, bro. You want to vent about him? Or about just the current state of the Astros, who seem to be in a world of trouble, even though they still have a 1.5 game lead in the AL West? You can. It's the most interactive sports talk show in town. Stay put.
ESPN 97.5.